Father, to help us right here tonight in the house of God. Make these altars fruitful, Lord.
Let the church say, amen. I want you to notice these verses in verse number 10. It said, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good words toward you, and causing you to return to this place." And then he said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I want to preach tonight on those few last words there, if the Lord has helped me. An expected end. Amen. The first thing I want to point out to you that we can gather from this service, or from this scripture rather, is we're not going to live here forever. Amen. The Bible here, as it does throughout the entirety of the book, it indicates an end. Amen. We have pretty much come to the end of this day. We have reached the end of this week, and we're very rapidly nearing the end of this year. Amen. And so we understand that we're not going to live here forever, not here. There's an end. That end indicates a future. For although we use the word end, it is not the end as in just literally to cease to exist. Amen. We talk about the end of this world. Once this world ends, or once your life ends in this world, it is really the future. I hope I'm not confusing you. Amen. Then we find in this text here, we find the word expected, the meaning to have a hope, or that which someone would long for. And I feel like that I'm safe in saying that every man thinks of the future. That all of us, we think about tomorrow, and we periodically it crosses our minds, and we think about eternity and hereafter. We wonder. Job said, "Man wasteth away, man dieth, yea, he giveth up the ghost." And he asked the question, and he said, "Where is he? Where did he go?" It's always been a wonder in men and women's minds what lies on the other side of death's dark door. Could you say amen? And so every man thinks of the future, and I also feel like that I'm safe in saying that every man longs for a happy ending. Do you know of anyone that longs to just end their life in misery, in miserable conditions? And no, we're not that way. We long, amen, that at the end, you hope you may start out and a day may go wrong, but what is it that we say? I hope it gets better. I hope tomorrow's a better day, or I hope next week's a better week, or I hope next year's a better year. And so we look to the end of where we're at now, and that future with that expectancy of we long for and think of happy endings. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible talks about how that we're a sojourner in our life. We're just here for a little while. And it uses such terminology as talking about being on the path. Talks about the old path. The Bible uses the word journey. We're all on a journey. It's what the song used to sing. We're all on a journey to somewhere. Amen. The Bible speaks about the way, indicating that you're going somewhere or another. Could you say amen? And then it talks about the race that is set before us. Amen. Amen. And of all of those terminologies, all them terms, the goal of all of that, the goal of the future is to go to heaven. Amen. That's right. To go to heaven. There is only one thing that can keep you from going to that place. That is sin. I could go through a lot of details. I could go into a lot of things tonight. Probably could never really cover it all. Amen. But just to really defying. This word sin means to miss the mark, or means to come short. If you, one song he used to sing, it said, if we miss heaven, amen, we're seeking too low, amen. I don't want to die lost. I don't want to die in a lost condition. What do you mean, preacher? I don't want to die not knowing where I'm at, or not really knowing how I'm going to end up. I don't want to die in that way. I don't want to die. They talk of giving requests for that man who's just got a few more maybe hours or possibly days to live. Amen. And he's not really settled that he's saved, that he's born again. I don't want to come to the end of the road in that kind of style. Can you say amen? Hope you'll help me preach a little while. Amen. To sin, to miss the mark, to come short. One place the Bible said your iniquities are separated between you and your God. Amen. You see, God meant in the beginning, and he means it for now. God meant to walk with you. God meant to commune with you. But have you ever noticed down through the Bible that it has always been man that walked away from God? It's always been. Lots of times, even children, men will grow up, but they will talk to you and tell you how that when they as a child that God dealt with their heart, or when as a little girl they felt the nearness of the Lord. But as they grew older, amen, things came in between them. It was that sins and that iniquities that came in between them. And it's always been that man walked away from God. You see, God made man in the sixth day of the creation. In the end of the days of the creation. But man was not an afterthought. Man has always been in the forethoughts of God. And God always intended that he would have a communion with you. God always meant that. He designed man to be, if you allow me to use this term, he designed man to be a praying animal. I don't believe in God. I've not yet met the first person that wouldn't pray. You let circumstances and things get just right. It don't matter how hard that heart is. It don't matter what they believe or their mentality. Amen. Most of them will call out to God Almighty. They may not know altogether who they're calling to, but when things get just right, they'll cry out to God. Can somebody say amen? That's the way that God intended for it to be with man. And God made that man would cry out to him. And God designed it that he could communicate with man. Amen. But it has always been man that has walked away from God. Amen. We could see, amen, Adam and his wife. Amen. They had their communion with the Lord. And then man and his wife, this woman, they sinned. They took heed to what the serpent had to say. And I want you to notice this. Amen. Adam and Eve hid themselves. Amen. It wasn't that God pulled back from Adam. No. Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. For we hear there in the book of Genesis where that they heard the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day as once again. Now God is omniscient and God is omnipotent. He's all knowing. He's all seeing. He knows he's everywhere. And so God already knew what they had done. Can you say amen? Amen. But yet, even though they had sinned, amen, God comes down. And I don't know if I could relay this to you just right, but they hear his voice as he's coming their way. He didn't sneak up on them. He didn't jump out on them. He didn't say, aha, I caught you in your wrongdoings. Amen. But as if to give them a forewarning that I'm coming your way, as if he didn't want to embarrass them. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Amen. They hear God coming. And the Bible said that they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They hid themselves. We read about Cain, the first man born of woman. God warned Cain. I preached about it here, I believe it was the other night. If thou doest well, tried his best to persuade Cain, looked like.
Cain went headlong and done what he wanted to do. Then we read about at the conclusion of Cain's decision, where the Bible said, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. God didn't fix it that way. God didn't design it that way. Are you helping me preach? I feel like you are. Amen. We read about Jonah. And the Bible talks about this man named Jonah and how that Jonah, amen, he was fleeing. And the Bible said he went to Tarshish, fleeing from the presence of the Lord. We can read again over in the book of Revelations about a church by the name of Ephesus. A church. I want you to picture this. Here we read about a man and his wife. Then we read about that man and wife's son. Then we read about a prophet. Amen. But now we come to a whole church. And the Bible said of this church, Jesus' testimony of them was, thou hast not lost. You can lose something sometimes and not really be aware that you've lost it. But the Bible said that they had left their first love. Amen. We can read the Bible. Jesus gives us a story, a parable here, and a story about a man that had two sons, and you're familiar with it, I'm sure. Amen. But the younger of them two sons, we call him the prodigal son. The word prodigal means wasteful. Amen. And he came to his father, and he said, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And the father gave them to him. And just in a few short days, he took all that the father had gave him, and he went into the far country, and the Bible said there he wasted his living. I wonder tonight what we've wasted, what God has gave to men and women. God has given us a good life, and we take it over into a far country, and we waste it. Could you say amen? Amen. We can read about men that God has saved, and Peter talked about them becoming entangled again and overcome. Amen. After that they had been delivered from the elements of this world. And he talked about how they'd be overcome and entangled. And he likened it to this. He said the dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed, she's went back to her wallowing in the mire. Amen. Oh, I want to preach to you if the Lord would help me. Amen. What is God's thoughts about all this? What's God think about man and his instability? What does God think about man and his proneness to go back? What would you think? I know what I'd think. I'd kind of get weary. Amen. But I want you to look at God's thoughts in this, if I could preach. When God comes down to where Adam and Eve should have been, like he said, he don't come rebuking them, but he comes with a question. Where art thou? Where'd you go? Why'd you run off for? Oh, I feel the Lord. You don't understand what kind of God that I really am. I'm not here to ruin you. I'm not here to break you into pieces. I'm your God. I love you. I created you. I didn't make you to have a wicked end. I created you to have an expected end. I wanted to fix it, and I'm willing to fix it. Don't you know that God knew that men would sin? Don't you know that God knew just exactly what kind of mess they would get in? How could he, preacher? Why would God, and you know all them thoughts that get strangled up in men's mind, why would God make the devil? God didn't make the devil as he is today. He was a created being. He was a bright, shining, beautiful angel. And that angel, Lucifer, he chose to do wrong. God didn't make hell for men to go there. You don't read about in the beginning where God created a hell. But in the beginning you read where
God created the heavens, and everything He created was good. But you do read in the book of Revelation about a lamb speaking about Christ who was slain before the foundation of the world, before God ever started His plan. He knew that men would sin, and He knew the shape that they'd get in, and He still made man, and He still loved man, and He knew exactly, God knows where Adam was at. He was asking Adam because He wanted Adam to realize, and He wanted Adam to admit where he was. It wasn't that God didn't know. Amen. He wanted Adam to see. Amen. But God, from the beginning, He didn't intend that men would go haywire. He didn't intend that men would die lost. God fixed it from the very beginning. Amen. You may say tonight, I've messed my life up. But I want to preach to you here tonight, before you was ever born. Amen. When you was conceived in your mother's womb, when you was first brought forth into this world, God already knew the time you'd be born. He knew the days that you would live, and He knows the day that you would die. And God, in His mighty all-knowing knowledge, knows every sin that you would ever commit. And God said, right here, I'm going to meet with that person. I'm going to come down to him. Because when you was born, God didn't look over the balconies of heaven and say, aha, that narrow go to hell. Aha, that narrow has to die lost. But God, every little baby that's born, you ever see them stand in the nursery window at the hospital, and they look in there, every mama and daddy that's really got a heart, they have an expectancy. They don't expect their child to be a failure. They don't expect their child, even to end up in prison, but they got high hopes. And every time a child is born, God looks over the balconies of heaven into the nurseries of this world, and God expects, and I feel like He tells the angel of heaven, prepare for them a place there one day. They'll get to be with me. Where the song said, once again, God walks with man, and He dries their tears with His own hand. Could you raise your hands and worship Him? God has an expected end for you. God wants you to be saved. Watch this. Jonah runs and he flees from the presence of the Lord. The Bible said that when he gets on the ship, the Lord sends a strong wind. It didn't just happen to come that way. Well, they really had some troubles. God sends a strong wind. God, are you mean? God, are you cruel? Read the whole book of Jonah. The Bible said this, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Then it said this, and catch the past reference here, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Do you see how God knew when He spoke to Jonah that Jonah was going to disobey Him? I mean, you could say, God is very evil and God is wicked. But all I see is God's mercy, because God, if you will, prepared. Somebody said that's foolishness. A man can't live 3 days and three nights literally in the belly of a whale. And I say, amen. He probably couldn't. Amen. But this fish, God had it prepared. God specially designed it. Amen. God's factory ordered it. Would you say amen? Amen. And He sent it out of God's showroom. And He said, get down there and get ready. I've got a man that's running from my presence, and I'm going to fix you, Mr. Fish, and a man can live in you. I don't know how you're seeing it tonight, but if you can follow my train of thought, God designed this well. That's what Jesus said it was. Even Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, and God designed this well with an altar in the pit of His stomach. Great God of heaven. And God fixed it up where a man can repent in the depths of the sea. Amen. God has prepared. Are you seeing how that God's thoughts and God's intentions and God's plans and God's purposes? Amen. God wants you to live for Him. How about I messed up, but I'm seeing that I've come short. We all have sinned. Are you helping me tonight? I want you to look at these good scriptures here. I won't preach too long, I don't think. He didn't just say, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. I just all of a sudden thought about you right now. But look at my text here, if you still have your Bibles handy. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11.
for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. You see, it was after 70 years. After 70 years in Babylon, he said, I will visit you. I feel like God about ready to give up on me, preacher. I want you to hear what this preacher's fixing to say. God won't never give up on you. God won't never give up his desire to see you saved. God will never, ever, I don't care how deep you steep in sin, God never says, that makes me happy that they go to hell. He said in his great word that he had no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The society and world and humanity, where they look at a man or a woman and say they got what they deserve, and they died here and they died there and they died lost. Amen. But God so loved the world. God didn't want men to go to hell. If you'd had them, you'd have let them go on their own. But after 70 years in Babylon, in captivity, in sin, I will visit you and hear what he said, and perform my good word towards you. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. And he said this, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Amen. God has not ceased to think about you. Amen. His infinite mind is made up. He knows his thoughts. His purposes are settled. He is working with the motive. Amen. Why aren't you already in hell? Don't you know tonight, if the devil had his way, how many times he would have gladly snatched your soul out and sent you to hell? How many right here in this building, amen, saved, amen, would have been lost? Brother Mark testifies about how that God had mercy on him when he jumped or dove, or however it was, back in his senior trip, when he ended up in a swimming pool and almost drowned. But how many years was it, Brother Mark, that God waited on you? Amen. About 13 years. And God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Amen. I've given you 13 years. After 70 years in Babylon, I will visit you. 13 years later, after, as Brother Mark said, God saved him from a literal death, then God saved him. So, for he didn't have to die long. I know the thoughts. His mind's made up. Amen. The preacher may think about you. You work, buddy. You're free, and your mama, your daddy, they may pray for you for a little while, and then they kind of slips their mind. But always, God has not ceased to think about you. His intentions is every time that he sees you, and he's always seeing you, I want you to be saved. I want you to be saved. Never does God switch his mind back and forth. Amen. One day I want him to be saved, and the next day I can care less. That's not God. God has always wanted you to be saved. When the Apostle Peter talked about that dog that turned back to its vomit and that sow that went back to its wash, in that same book, that same writer said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. He's not slack concerning his promises. He don't pull it tight and pull the love cords and pull you to him, then let them go slack so I just die. He's not slack concerning his promises, but is long suffering. Can anybody raise a hand and thank God for his long suffering? Did everybody in here get saved the first time God dealt with you? The very first time God knocked on your heart, you just immediately turned it all over to God. Lots of folks I've heard people talk about, amen, and my oldest brother prayed in the same revival that I prayed, and he prayed three nights before he said that he felt like God saved him. Did it take God three nights to save him? I don't know what it was in the young boy's life, Brother Tommy, but he sought God for three nights. I feel like preaching. But for three nights, God didn't let slack on that rope. For three nights, God didn't ever let up. How long has he been with you? How many days has he been with you?
And I'm not saying this is a slander. Amen. I'm not promoting backsliding, but neither is a person that's ever went back on God and then came back. They're not second class. You hearing me? You hearing me? Amen. Because how many in this building, you don't have to throw a hand up there unless you just really feel like the goodness of the Lord. Amen. But how many have come to the Lord, known the Lord, walked away from God? Amen. But did you ever get away from that pulling, that tugging? Amen. Sometimes at the most unwanted time, but you couldn't really enjoy yourself in sin because God was not slack concerning His promises. God continually dealt with your heart. God continually knocked on your soul. Amen. His purpose is settled. And that same book said, the Lord is this long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. The father of the Bible tells of that boy that I mentioned a while ago, the prodigal, the wasteful one. He said after he'd finally spent it all, wasted it all, and now he's in a fix, and he comes to himself and he realizes things was a lot better back at the house with the father. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll just go back and I'll tell the father I've sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as a hired servant. And I love what the scripture said. I tell you, he's not ceased to think about you. Help me, Holy Ghost. When you came to church and you went back out, God never ceased to think about you. Amen. And that father of that boy, probably every day. How many here tonight has or had lost children? Could I see a hand raised? Be honest with me. Amen. Just hold them just a little bit for a moment. You pray for them, then forget them. You always think about them. You always think about them. As you always think about your child, God always thinks about you. Can somebody say amen? And the Bible said when the son was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Kind of sounded to me like he was looking for him. One day he's going to come back. I want him to come back. Why have you got that calf pinned up in that pen? Why do you have that calf all the time? I'm especially fattening that calf up because I know one day my boy is coming back. Why do you keep that robe hanging in that closet? Why do you keep them shoes in there, Father? Why do you keep all those things there? Because one day my boy is going to come home. If your child left, would you just immediately dispose of everything? No, no, no. You would keep that. And that's exactly the way the father is. He saw his son coming up, and he ran to him, and he had compassion on him. And the Bible said he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Amen. All things work together for one objective, a future, a hope, that which you have longed for. Oh, what I deal. Amen. For it to be better. Amen. And Jesus, the Bible said the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And what has God said even today in this wicked world? What does God say to lost men? He says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Amen. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He tells this is what God says. Amen. Forsake your evil ways. This is what God says. I will multiply mercy. This is what God's decrying. Turn ye, why will ye die? Hear what God says. Return, O backsliding Israel. Amen. Hear what He said. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. He told about that song. They used to sing that song about He blotted out all the transgressions, was blotted out. That song had some kind of verse in there and wording about his sins being blotted out. That little Sunday school girl got to sing it. You know how children are. Natalie got to singing that song he sang a while ago, where it said you got to have a little faith in what the good book says. And Natalie sang it, you got to have a little faith in what the cookbook says. But this little girl got to sing that about where that he's blotted out all their sins. She sung and said, he has blooded out all my sins. He hath blooded out. That's how he does it. One man talked about the old eraser. I don't know how they do it in school. I've been a long time gone from there, thank God. Amen. I don't know how they do it nowadays, but I remember back in the day, amen, when they had the old blackboards or chalkboards or whatever you want to call them, amen, and they had the erasers up there, and they wrote whatever they wrote on the board, amen, but they had that old eraser. That old eraser, it had no existence. It had no purpose other than to get rid of what they didn't want to be left up there. One man said that the eraser owes its existence to human error. Are you hearing what I say? Amen, you need an eraser on your pencil if you didn't know you was prone to make a mistake, would you? Come on here now. Even if you knew you'd never make a mistake and humans wouldn't make a mistake, you'd sharpen that thing on both ends. If you're really smart, you know after a while, you're going to make a mess. You're going to mess up. You're going to come short. And you're going to need to erase that. The blood that was shed on Calvary owes its existence. Even the human error. And God would have never foreordained that His Son would bleed and die and shed His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no cancellation of sin. And God knew that human error. And if there hadn't been a need, if there hadn't been a knowing that humans would err, the Son of Jesus, the Son of God, in that perfect body would have never been scarred. But because God knows I'd fail, and because God knows my misery, He let Him be striped. He let Him be beaten. He let His side be riven. And He let blood, the blood of God, the blood of God's Son, and He let it flow, not because I was perfect. He that is whole needeth not a physician, but God sent His Son, even not to condemn us. We was condemned already, but He sent His Son, and He sent His blood, and His blood taketh away the sin of the world. And He wants to give you a expected end. His remembrances are precious. Amen. What God remembers about me, I'm glad He don't forget me. I'm glad He remembers my prayers. I'm glad He remembers my works and my labors of love. But I'm also glad for what He's forgave and what He's forgot. Amen. I'm not only glad for what He remembers. I'm glad He remembers me. But I'm glad that there's some things in my life that God has forgotten. But hear me preach right here. I could tell you while somebody comes to the piano tonight, amen, I could tell you where that he said, one writer said, though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to die lost. Shipwreck, preacher. Life a mess. Misery. Sadness. All kinds of things. I wonder what God's plans for you are. I wonder what His purpose are. I want to tell you this, no glory on my part whatsoever. Every week, every day this week, no glory on my part, but every day this week, we went to revival. We was very busy last week, and I was just pushed and stressed. Lots of times I'll go to revival and I kind of have on my mind things that God wants to deal with. But this week I left here. Amen. I closed meeting out here Sunday night to drive 7 hours to a revival, and I did not have a clue. But every day this week, from Monday to this day, the God of heaven has came down and graciously and mercifully spoke to my soul every morning.
Yesterday morning I went to prayer. I told my wife before I went to that church. We stand over in the fellowship hall, but Tommy's been there. A little distance between them. I said, I don't have a clue what I'm going to talk about tonight. I went in Brother Glenn's church down there at Full Gospel Mission. Nobody there, just me and the Lord. After about an hour, I walked out of there, and I felt like I knew the mind of God. I preached down there last night. Not this message. I've never preached this little message before. And I preached down there last night, and that pastor called me a while ago. And he said, Brother Ronnie, I can't go into details. But he said, did you notice that lady? And he described her. Yes, sir, Brother Glenn, I noticed her. He said, when you was preaching, he said, it was like you was carrying on a conversation just with her. Backslid, lost. In my preaching, I was just preaching and felt God and said something to the effect of suicide's not the answer. Another relationship's not the answer. Brother Glenn said, I will tell you this. Her husband was killed. Said she's been in a mess. She's had several relationships. And said she's threatened suicide recently. And God let a little old preacher from Kentucky that never saw her, probably never will see her again, and he let them meet at the same appointed time. And God said, I've got to expect it in. I don't want that lady to do that. I don't want that lady to go to hell. And whoever we are in this building, listen to me, saints of God. I know you get discouraged. I know you get weary. I know you get tired. I know the adversary of your soul sometimes tells you, I just throw in the towel. I just walk away. But I want to ask you something. Can you really walk away from God? I hope you understand what I'm saying. Sure, you can walk, but can you get away from Him? Can't do it. Can't do it. It'd be scary enough to know that the hounds of hell was on your track. Oh, thank God that what we could call the hounds of heaven. Amen. And I wonder tonight while you stand with us, while these good sisters get ready to sing, play softly here for just a moment. Are there anybody that'd like to come back into these altars tonight? Say, God, I hear you. I know you've got something greater for me. I want a happy ending, Lord. Brother Houston preaches a message, and the title of his message is, I don't want to die like this. You don't want to die screaming and crying. I was told about a lady that died screaming and saying, pull my feet out of fire. Pull my feet out of fire. You don't want to die that way. You don't want to die that way. I don't want you to die that way. The church don't want you to die that way. But I feel the Holy Ghost of heaven tonight. God Almighty says, I don't want you to die that way. And I'll come right to where you are. And if you'll take one step toward this altar, just like you did with that prodigal, he'll run and meet you. I watched my big old tall brother-in-law sit back on that back pew. Whenever he made his way and finally broke down and came this way, I felt like God met him somewhere between here and that back pew. And when Dwayne literally slid into that altar on his knees and threw him hands up to heaven, the Father was right there. Amen. Jenny came up here the other night and prayed, and he met you here, did he not? And he met you here. Her sister came the other night, and I feel like God was here to be with her again. How about it? Anybody like to come in the altar tonight? Anybody like to come? We'd like to pray with you. Anyone like to come? Anybody? Won't you listen just a moment while they sing a song? Perry here just a few moments. Come on, sister. Listen to these words.
Not because I've been so faithful.
No,
not because I've been so good. You've always been there for me.
You've always been there for me.
You provide my every need. You were there when I was lonely. You were there through all of my pain. God in my footsteps.
Oh, what a God.
Shelter me from the rain. It is you who made my life complete. You are to me my everything. That is why I sing of you, Father.
Oh, why don't you come to these altars tonight?
Because you care.
I'd like to give you a special invitation. I'm not trying to embarrass. I'm not trying to overstep my liberty here. But Jackie, if you feel like coming back and praying, why don't you just come on back and seek the Lord a little more? We love you. God loves you. He really wants to help you. God wants to give you a happy ending. He wants to give you a happy life in between here, wherever it might be. Why don't you just come right on back in the church time? How about it, church? Would you come this way? Come on. All this good lady comes and prays. You sisters just get right here with her. Let the Lord help her. Come on, good sisters, and pray. Come on, brothers. Cry out to God. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, I don't know much about our vision folks. I'm glad they're here. Do you know Him? Do you really know Him? His thoughts towards you. He cares for you.
Not because I've been so good.
Come on, sing it, girl.
He's always been there for me to provide my every need. You were there when I was lonely. You were there to
He wants to give you an expected end.
God,
He wants to give you an end of hope. He wants to bring a future peace. He wants to fix it. We're that it's better now than it one time was. God says, I've never forgotten about you. I've never quit thinking about you. Never one time. I'll never quit thinking about you. You're always in the foremost thoughts of my mind. You can't go deep enough. You can't go high enough. You can't run fast enough. It can't get dark enough. What God won't always be thinking about you. Even in your sleep. Even when you're a long ways away. God thinks about men when they're in a drunken stupor. God thinks about men when they're drugged out of their mind. He watches over them. He keeps them from self-destruction. Because God really don't want them to die lost. That's God's infinite mercy.
That is why I think of you beside me. Because you care. Couldn't imagine if you were there. You've always been there for me to provide my every need.
Come on, sir. Could you worship the Lord? I just couldn't imagine if he hadn't been here. Sing it with them tonight, would you? Time. Just give me just a few minutes and I'll be out of your way. Now he put flowers on the hills, your cup in glass. Lucille, how can you turn around and say that God is dead? When your stories have all been told, there's just one thing I'd like to know. If God is dead,
if God is dead,
who's this living in my soul? If my soul had a window, I'd leave it open to the world to see. There's a bridge, you can cross if you will. The toll was paid, God got the seal. If God is dead,
if God is dead,
who's this living in my soul? Listen, now he's the shelter in life's stormy weather. It's his love that keeps us together. When life gets like a ship on a raging sea, and when the storm of life blows strong, Jesus leads me so gently on. And if God is dead,
if God is dead,
who's this living in
my soul.
Now there's a bridge, you can cross it, you will.